Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope that you're having a great morning. We are getting closer and closer to Christmas Day and the kids are getting excited. Schools are out on Friday here in the Texarkana area. And there's just always with the Christmas Christmas Day approaching, there's always excitement in the air. I'm looking forward to going to the mall. That was one of my fun things to do when I was a young guy, high school age, college age. When I first got married, you know, I'd go to the mall to buy for Debbie. Debbie is very good about, she's good with gifts and she buys for all the kids and grandkids and she involves me some, but that's not my greatest strength, but I do buy for her and, you can buy online or I like to go to the mall and walk around and see things and take in the sights. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. And Debbie was supposed to be with me today. We were going to talk about some things, how couples interact and how can you resolve issues at Christmas time. You know, it's kind of funny when you start meeting with family members. The husband and wife can deal with a lot of stresses with traveling and things like that, especially if you got little kids. And so we were going to talk about that. But Debbie woke up very hoarse. She had an endoscopy done yesterday. That's why I wasn't at the microphone, and I was taking her there to the doctor and having that test. Everything's looking good, but I think that gave her a hoarse voice, and so she will be on at a later date. So I wanted to talk to you today about something that's been on my heart, something that I got to experience a number of years ago. Actually, it was March 1st, 2011. I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. And I try and go every year to the NRB. And at the closing ceremonies, the closing dinner, they had Dr. Charles Swindoll there. And Chuck Swindoll was going to be the keynote speaker. And the event went long, but he didn't mind. He got up and he did his whole talk that he had planned. And it was wonderful. And he called it this, Things I Have Learned in Over 50 Years of Ministry. And I was all ears to hear Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll, one of the greatest preachers, maybe ever, definitely in our generation. He just turned 90 years old just a few weeks back, and he just retired from being the pastor at Stonebriar Community Church, his church that he began in 26 years ago. I think he's still going to preach there, even at 90. And Chuck is just a great communicator, and I've learned so much from him. I like what the scripture says, Psalm 34, verse 11, Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 21, 11, When the scoffer is punished, the naive become wise, but when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. So Chuck Swindoll said, I'm going to talk to you guys about what I've learned in over 50 years of ministry. And so what are the things he learned? Well, I wrote down some of these things. Then I found some other things that he had said that he learned. And so I want to share those today because I think it's very, very important. Whether you're a pastor or not, it's really good for pastors because Chuck is talking from the perspective of a pastor, but just in life in general. What has he learned? What is this guy that has walked with God for so many years? What has he learned? What can he pass down to us so that, you know, We learn a lot from those who have gone before us, and we learn about the path. Don't go this way. You know, it's like somebody giving you directions, and don't, hey, I was down this road. They're doing a lot of construction. It's going to be real slow. There are problems there, lots of accidents there. Don't go this way. You know, the GPS will tell us, Debbie and I travel from Texarkana to Houston often to go see my daughter and son-in-law and two grandsons and my mom and my family. And so it's a straight shot, 59 north, but, or 59 south, I'm sorry. But sometimes it'll take you off the beaten path. And the reason it does that is because the GPS program knows, hey, there's construction here. You're going to have slowdowns. It's better to go this way. And so that's what we can learn from a guy like Chuck Swindoll in over 50 years of ministry. So here are some of the things that he said. Very first one, tell people how you feel about them now, not later. When you have somebody on your heart, don't wait to talk to them, to write them a note, to give them a call. Tell people how I feel about them now, not later. He said this, things I'm not even aware of are being noticed and remembered by others. Isn't that interesting? So he talked about sending notes to people. He said, you know, I can write a note to somebody, and because he would write a lot of notes, I write a lot of notes to people. I may not remember ever sending that person a note, but that person remembers, and that person saves those notes. I got a sweet, sweet note from a dear, dear lady, Virginia Eskew. She lives in Ashdown, Arkansas. She's up in age, and she's been battling some serious health issues with cancer and having to have lots of surgery. She writes me a sweet, sweet note every Christmas, and she talks about my notes. She said, I've kept all the letters you've sent me, and she said, my family knows who you are because I talk a lot about Pastor Jeff. And I may not remember what I sent her and what I said, but she remembers that. And so things I'm not even aware of are being noticed and remembered by others. You know, I've noticed that too when you go to a restaurant. Texarkana is not a huge place. It's 70,000 people roughly in the two sides. You have Texarkana, Texas, and Texarkana, Arkansas, Twin Cities. And people, I saw somebody just yesterday at the doctor's office, and she didn't say, oh, hi, Pastor Jeff, I know you. She just was doing her job, and I was looking at her, and I was thinking, I know this person. And she just said, my name is Leslie. And then I asked her, I said, what's your last name? She told me her last name. I said, I know you. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I go to your church. And, you know, I mean, I wish I knew everybody at our church. I don't. Most pastors, you know, if you have a church of over 200 people, it's hard to know everybody. And so anyway, she wasn't going to tell me that. But when I mentioned it, oh, yeah, I know you. And I've known you for a while, and I knew her mom and dad. And so we had a good conversation. But you have to be careful, because people may know you even though you don't know them. Waiters, waitresses, people at a restaurant, how you treat, this is a big deal for me, how you treat people who are serving you in whatever capacity speaks volumes to them. If you are sweet, if you are kind, if you are caring, if you are generous, that goes a long, long way. I love what they told me at a restaurant here in town. When I asked the server, I said, I'm getting ready to, we're going to pray over our meal, and I'd like to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray about for you? That's just a standard thing that I do most of the time when I go out to eat. And this one person said, what church do you go to? And I said, First Baptist. And she goes, you know, it seems like everybody that goes to First Baptist asks that question, what can I pray for you about before, you know, as I pray over my meal? And it really made an impact on them. And so, hey, you may not be aware of it, but people are noticing, they're watching, and they're remembering things that you do. How about this one from Chuck Swindoll, the wisdom from Chuck Swindoll, being real is better than trying to look religious. Be who you is, because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. The old quote, I forget who said that. That wasn't from Chuck, but he was quoting somebody. Be who you is, because if you ain't what you is what you ain't. And so you got to be real. People are looking for reality. Hey, your kids are looking for you, mom and dad, to be real, to be genuine, to be authentic. As a follower of Jesus Christ, they're not expecting you to be perfect. They're expecting you to be genuine. And listen, dads, moms, when you mess up with your kids, which we all have, we've all flown off the handle, we've all gotten angry, we've all exploded in anger, yelled at our kids because we get mad at them. Well, they notice that, and they know that that's not right. And so if you mess up, you fess up. If you've blown it, you need to own it and say, hey, I was wrong. I remember with my oldest daughter, Jill, when I was teaching her how to drive, and that's a tough order for any dad with his daughter. And I remember asking her, we were pulling out of the driveway, and I was telling her, okay, you need to slow down, and then you need to stop. And she wasn't stopping fast enough, and I thought she was going to run over the neighbor's mailbox, and I just shouted to her, stop the car. And she said, Dad, why are you yelling at me? It seems like you're always yelling at me. And it just hit me. It's like, here's my 15-year-old daughter. She's very nervous behind the wheel. She doesn't have experience doing this. And she's got her dad who's yelling at her. That's not helping. That's hurting. And I said, Jill, you're right. I'm so sorry. That's so wrong. I said, well, let's keep driving. She goes, no, I don't want to drive with you anymore. She was really hurt. And it took her a while. Took her into that day, many hours into the day, before she was able to say, okay, Dad, I forgive you. But I had to apologize to her. Now, I could have just said, well, I'm the dad, and you're going to do it my way, and blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. If you mess up, you fess up. Be real and be authentic. And your kids want to see that, and your friends want to see that, and the people you're witnessing to want to see that. It makes all the difference in the world. How about this one? I love this one, especially for a pastor. When you fit, things flow. When you don't fit, they are forced. When God is in it, there is a flow. You know, when you're operating in your gift mix as a Christian, you're operating in your spiritual gift, and normally we have a primary gift and a secondary gift. When you're operating within your gift mix, well, it's going to be a good flow. You're in your element. But when you're doing something that's not, you're not gifted for, it's not going to flow, and it's not going to be fun, and people aren't going to get a lot out of it. I used to say this when I would interview for administrative assistants. I said, listen, I can do the administrative work, but it takes me a long time. It's like mowing the yard with scissors. I said, you know, you can have scissors and mow the yard. It's just going to take you forever. And I said, I need somebody who's got a big mower to help me with these things that I'm not good at. I remember this one lady, she said, oh, I got a huge lawnmower for you. I am gifted in this area. And so we were a great team, because she freed me up to do the things that I was good at doing, and she was great at those things I wasn't good at doing. So when you fit, and this is pastors going to a church, you know, you gotta look around and say, do I fit this place? I remember interviewing at a church years ago. And I went there in view of a call, or to talk to the committee about coming in view of a call. And I could just tell. Debbie and I visited the church on a Sunday. We were there and we were with the people. I could just tell, I don't fit here. They wanted me to come. They didn't understand when I said no. But it was like, that's not going to be a good fit. Because the people, you know, anybody that comes to your church, they ask this question, are the people here like me? And do the people here like me? Those two questions are key. Are they like me? Do I fit in here? And do they like me? Do they seem to want to have me here? And if, you know, if I'm a city boy, I'm probably not going to do very well pastoring a church that is rural out in the country that has farmers. Hey, farmers are great, but I don't know that world very well. That's not what's in my background. And so when you fit, things flow. When you don't fit, they are forced. And when God is in it, there is a flow. How about this last one right before the break? Don't talk anybody into or out of a big decision. Pray with them, encourage them, focus them, or get them to focus in on the scripture. What does God say about it? Listen, every big decision, the bottom line is this: what does God want you to do? And he says, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Treve. We're talking about the wisdom of Chuck Swindoll, what he learned in over 50 years of ministry. We're up against a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Treve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the wisdom of Chuck Swindoll. When I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee in March of 2011, he was our keynote speaker for the final meeting, for the final dinner. And I couldn't write fast enough all the things that he was saying, because he was sharing what he had learned in over 50 years of ministry, some of the major keys. And so we were going through those this morning, and they are gems for sure. I loved this one. He said, the days of maintenance are a lot more in number than the days of magnificence. Most of ministry is just plain hard work. You know, I think that is a great revelation, especially to younger people in ministry, because we have this grandiose view of how ministry is supposed to be just every day is a new day of miracles, and God is going to do great and mighty things this day. And that's, I mean, we need to look at life that way, look at ministry that way. But the bottom line is ministry is a lot of study. Especially for a pastor, it's a lot of study, it's a lot of being with people, it's a lot of going through problems with people, it's a lot of caring, it's a lot of sharing, it's a lot of praying, it's a lot of difficulty. You can run into trouble as a pastor at your church, as you want to lead the congregation in a certain way, and you're saying, hey, I've been praying, I think the Lord wants us to go here. You know, Moses was God's called leader to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, and they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Was it easy for Moses? Was every day just a this mountaintop experience for Moses? Moses had some big mountaintop experiences with the Lord, but it was hard. And 40 years in the wilderness, sometimes we get the idea the wilderness is this lush forest. It's not. It's the desert. It's rocks and sand and sun, and it's hot, and it's difficult, and it's wandering around, you know, because they disobeyed the Lord. They weren't supposed to wander around. That's not what God wanted. He wanted them, took them out of Egypt to go into the promised land after they got the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, but they didn't go in. They didn't believe God. And so because of that, for every day you spied out the land, 40 days, you're going to wander in the wilderness till all of you people 20 years old and over are dead. And your children, the ones you said that were going to be prey for the Canaanites, they're the ones that are going to inherit the land. Well, Moses had to lead that group. Moses didn't get to go in the promised land. Remember, he disobeyed God. And he struck the rock the first time and the water flowed. That rock's a picture of Jesus. He was struck once on Calvary's cross for our sins. And then the Lord told him, speak to the rock and the water will flow. But he got angry. He was so angry with the people. So he hit the rock twice. Shall we provide water from this rock, you rebels? He said, and he hit the rock twice. He wasn't supposed to do that because of the picture. He broke the picture that God was trying to give to the people. That rock was Christ. He's crucified once, and then you speak to the rock, because that's the pattern, and Moses didn't do it. Because of that, because as the Lord told him, hey, you failed to hold me in high regard before the people. You failed to keep me as holy before the people. So because of that, there's a consequence. You're not going in the promised land. And so Moses, for all the wonderful things that he experienced with the Lord, he had a lot of hard times too, and a lot of days of difficulty too. So the days of maintenance are a lot more in number than the days of magnificence. We love the days of magnificence, but let's face it, most of ministry is hard work, and it's joyous work because we're working for the Lord, but it is just meat and potatoes. It's doing those things that are necessary, studying, preaching, praying, loving on people, ministering to the people, going to the meetings, leading in those meetings, standing up for truth, and that can be hard. How about this one? Chuck Swindoll says, some people aren't going to change no matter what. And he quoted Ruth Bell Graham. She said this, it's my job to love Billy. It's God's job to make him good. And so she can't change him. You know, in your marriage, you can't change your spouse. The only person you can change is you. And the way you change you is by yielding yourself to the Lord. I love this one. He said, I have never had to apologize for something I didn't say. He said, be careful with what comes out of your mouth. Be careful what you write to somebody in anger, what you might email somebody when you're angry. You know, remember the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T. Don't respond and don't make a big decision when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Sometimes you can send off an email to somebody and you're very tired, it's at the end of the day, and you can be perturbed about something. You have to be careful because you can say something that would really hurt another person, and then it creates all kinds of problems. I've learned that the hard way. But you don't have to apologize for something you didn't say. Sometimes, and I've found this to be true, when you have a confidant that you can let off steam with. Hey, I need to unload about this situation or about, you know, something that's going on. This person did something to me. I'm very angry about it, but I want to respond correctly. Oftentimes, I would send it or compose an email in response to a situation where I was frustrated, and then I would send it to a couple of people. I said, look at this. Tell me how you would interpret this. How do you think this person is going to interpret this? I don't want to exacerbate the problem. I don't want to make it worse. And so get that feedback before you let something fly, because, you know, once you say it, it's said. Once you write it, it's written. And then you have to go back and say, uh-oh, or as Scooby-Doo would say, rut-row, I've really messed up. So Chuck said, you know, use this as a guide before something comes out of your mouth, before something goes into print. Is it confidential? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Always deal with people in kindness. Even when you have to be firm with people, people are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy, and so always communicate in kindness. How about this one? Perception overshadows reality. What people perceive to be true and real in their minds, that's real. And so it's a lot in ministry, especially as we share the truth of God. What people think is true, to them it is true. And so you have to show them from Scripture what is real. I had a post on Facebook the other day. I saw it on X, and it was from Dr. Simon. Let me make sure I get this right. Okay. Dr. Simon Goddard. Anyway, he said, you know, has anybody responded to you about the COVID vaccine? Because, you know, Simon Goddick, G-O-D-D-E-K, Dr. Simon Goddick. Questions to my fellow unvaccinated. Now that everything we were told about the plandemic has been proven false, has anyone in your circle reached out and said, I'm sorry, or you were right about everything? In my case, not a single person had the courage to admit it. And why is that? Well, I think a lot of people still think, well, yeah, those shots were good. I had to take that. It was important for me to get that. Even though the evidence is overwhelming that the shots were terrible. They weren't safe. They weren't effective. Well, why do you want to shoot something into your body that is not going to be safe and is not going to be effective? Well, that is obviously the case when it comes to the coronavirus vaccine, not a vaccine at all, and it's poison. As one Zev Zelenko, the doctor that came out against it early on, he's dead now, but he called it the poisoned clot shot. And it does cause blood clots, and it causes heart disease, and it is a terrible, terrible shot. But people today, they, oh, no, that's still good. I just believe whatever. What does the government tell me? What does CDC say? What does Pfizer say about it? Yeah, Pfizer is the one that's selling it. They're not going to tell you the truth, and which is sad and program of its own. But anyway, perception overshadows reality. Time spent with my family is always worth it. I love what Adrian Rogers used to say, hey, the church is Jesus' bride, it's not mine. And so I need to spend time with my bride, with my family. The church can get another pastor. My family, my wife can't get another husband and dad. And so I need to be there for them. Let's see here. Some things are worth the sweat, truth, asking for help, saying I'm sorry, those things are worth it. And I like this one. You can't beat having fun. And Chuck Swindoll, one of the things about him that has endeared him to so many people, he's a fun guy. He communicates in a fun way. And people love that. When they see that you're having fun, then they say, hey, you know, maybe following Jesus is, it's not like taking bad medicine to get well. You know, we've all had that experience. You got to take this horrible medicine when you're a little kid. You know, you were sick and you didn't understand. You felt bad and say, here, take a spoonful of this. It'll make you feel better. And you were gagging because it tasted so terrible. Well, Christianity is not bad medicine that you have to take to get well. It's a wonderful thing to follow Jesus. And people need to see the joy of Jesus in your life and my life. They need to see peace, even in the midst of a storm. Those things communicate. And joy communicates. And not a fake joy, not a Kamala Harris fake put on joy, and we're going to have this joyful rally. I had to pay all these people to come here. I had to pay my endorsers to come and endorse me because nobody would do that on his own, on her own. And we're just going to gin up this joy. It's not that. It's a real thing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know, one of the, maybe the most famous thing that Chuck Swindoll ever said that sticks out when I think, personally, when I think of famous quotes from Chuck Swindoll, it's the quote about attitude. And this is what he said. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make a break a make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. What a great, great quote from Chuck Swindoll. Now, later this morning, I am privileged to go to the Telford Prison Unit, TDCJ, Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and they've invited us to come and do a Christmas service with the guys. And so myself and Dr. Chris Schroeder and Jackson Barton, one of our music associates, and Mike Beck, our missions pastor, we're going to all go to New Boston, Texas, which is about just about 30 minutes or so away. And we're going to have a service for those guys, and we're going to sing and we're going to preach. And I'm going to share with them about attitude. because I don't know their stories. Lots of those guys are in there, and they're in there for a long time. Some of them may not be getting out. And so what do? You just say, my life is over. I'm hopeless. Nothing as good is ever going to come to me because of what I did in the past. Or you can say, hey, I can choose my attitude. Here's the wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians 10:31, regardless of where you are in life, regardless of what's going on in life, the Apostle Paul said this, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Martin Luther famously said, a dairymaid can milk cows to the glory of God. When you do it for Jesus, whatever situation you find yourself in, as Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. I can handle any situation through Christ who strengthens me. I can rejoice in the Lord always. As he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And you're incarcerated. You're not getting out. You say, I'm going to be in here for the rest of my life. Okay, that's your situation. Choose your attitude. Say, Lord, I want to make the most of this. I want to be a witness here in prison. I want to be a witness to the guards. I want to be a witness to the other inmates. And I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. Man, that's the way to live life. Yesterday is gone. We can't change the past. Tomorrow may not come. All we have is today, and we can choose today to live a life that's pleasing to God, that glorifies the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are coming up on a break, but when we come back, we're going to open the phone lines. I always like to open up the phone lines for the last part of the program to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. We've been talking today about the wisdom of Chuck Swindoll, what he has learned over 50 years of ministry. Just recently stepped away from the pastorate at Stonebriar Church there in the Dallas area, and still going to be preaching. 90 years old, still preaching. He said, hey, you never retire from ministry. You never retire as a pastor. You may be doing some different things, but hey, we serve the Lord all the way until the end. So give me a call, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And we've been talking about the wisdom of Dr. Chuck Swindoll. And as I heard him share what he had learned in over 50 years of ministry at a National Religious Broadcasters Convention closing ceremonies meeting, and it was fascinating. And I love to learn from him. And, you know, it's so beneficial when we learn from those who have been before us and gone before us so that we can say, hey, what he has found to be important, I need to take that into consideration. I need to hear that, and I need to heed that. And I don't need to make the same mistakes that he made. And so, as I said, Psalm 34, verse 11, come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And as it says in Proverbs, when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or if you have a comment, please give me a call. And we have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good, Dennis. How are you doing?
No, not bad for an old critter. I just wanted to, I'm in my 70s. I just wanted to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I love your ministry. I try to listen to you as often as I can. There's so much you say that I'd like to write it all down, but I'm legally blind, so, and I'm not very fast on writing things down, but so anyway, we just pray for our country and pray for Mr. Trump and the rest of them. And I said, blessings to you and your ministry. One question I do have is I'm trying to develop and learn how to study the Bible at my age. And I'm not very good at trying to figure that stuff out. Any suggestions?
You're spending time reading the Bible every day?
Yeah, every day.
Okay. Yeah, I would familiarize myself with the Gospels, spend time in those. This was a reading plan that I did, Dennis, early on. I was challenged to do this. When you spend time with the Lord, read five Psalms every day. And if you can't do five, you know, sometimes you can hit some Psalms that are pretty long. Psalm 119 is very long. But read out of the Psalms every day. Read a proverb every day. And when you read the Proverbs, ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to teach you. And then read a chapter from the Old Testament. Go through systematically. So, you know, if you start in Genesis, hey, I'm going to read one chapter of Genesis. And then read out of the New Testament every day, one chapter. You can do all that in probably about 15 minutes, 20 minutes max, and just ask the Lord, Lord, teach me on this. And so then you're kind of systematic as you're going through. You learn a lot of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Psalms is just so wonderful because it's just so raw, so real. So many Psalms come out of David's heart. And then, as you have questions, you just mark those down. Okay, I don't know what this means. I don't know what that means. I think it's important to have a good study Bible, Dennis, and with so many things that we have now on the internet, things that are readily available where you can find out information. Now, obviously, your situation is harder because your eyesight, but I encourage people to do this at my church. I say, listen, as you have questions, go ahead and contact me. What does this mean? What does that mean? And I said, I'd be more than happy to answer those. And if I may not know the answer, sometimes people have questions. It's like, hey, I have that same question. I'm not sure. But I would offer that to you too, Dennis. You can reach me, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. And as you read the Bible and have questions, just feel free to ask me. But a good study Bible is important. So there's lots of, John MacArthur has a good study Bible, Adrian Rogers has a good study Bible. There are many of them that are good out there that can answer questions and bring up things as you read in the scripture. Okay, this is what this means, this is what that means, here's the history behind it, and so it deepens your understanding of that passage.
Well, I've got several study Bibles, and for me, with being legally blind, that's kind of an issue. I've got a magnifier and all, but right now I'm using Our Daily Bread. They have a thing where you read through the Bible a year, but mm-hmm. I also read Psalms and Proverbs every day, and right now I'm reading in Joshua and Revelation. But, you know, with all the reading I do, I find myself having trouble just remembering the scriptures.
Sure.
So I guess it's because in my 70s and being an old critter, you know, memory is going to be something that just I have to deal with. But I love reading God's word. I'm going to continue to do it till the Lord takes me home. So,
amen.
But thank
amen.
You, Pastor, for your insight. I may hear you one day. I'm not very tech savvy anymore, but I may email you with questions and all one day. So blessings to you and your family. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Blessings to your ministry and your church.
Thank you, my brother.
Blessings anyway.
Thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. God bless you, my brother. And don't hesitate. If you have a question that I might be able to answer, let her rip. So God bless you and Merry Christmas. Well, we have, am I saying this right? Debness from Texas?
Yes, you are.
Debness, okay.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, I listen to your show every day. So, you know, I may call in quite often. You may have heard me before. I don't know. Miss Debbie, hope she gets well soon. Anyway, I'm so proud that you're going to the prison ministry thing to do a little presentation or, you know, whatever you're doing.
Right.
I'm so happy that you're doing that because they need so much encouragement there. And last time I took somebody to go serve their time, they said, "What do you want me to read while I'm there?" And I said, "Matthew 5. I'd say, dare yourself to actually memorize Matthew 5 because your attitude is going to be the most important thing that you carry while you're there." And he was out in a few days. This is how the Lord works. But he volunteered himself. You know, he was just saying, "I'm going to make things right. I want to start out with the Lord on a fresh foot." So I'm just saying attitude, how to be. And it's everything. Like you said, you were going to maybe talk to the guys about attitude, but everybody needs to shine a bright light on Matthew 5 because it is instructions and it is prescriptive and it's descriptive. You know, it's a real nugget that, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you and because that's been so important for me.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I listen to the Bible on my YouVersion app when I get ready in the morning. I listen to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Tons of stuff in there that the Lord tells us about all sorts of, you know, subjects. And Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, the attitudes that ought to be, just great stuff. And so I appreciate you calling in, Deb, and thank you. And I hope you have a great, great Christmas. And I appreciate you asking about Debbie. So God bless you, my sister. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Ron, are you there? All right. I guess we've lost Ron. But hey, Ron, call back in if you can. And we'd love to talk to you. So in the time we have remaining, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to ask me a question or talk about something, I'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. I wanted to mention this other thing that Chuck Swindoll said that I thought was very interesting. He said, "It is painful to obey." I was listening to a sermon, Matthew 2, or Matthew chapter 1, about Joseph. So Joseph is engaged to Mary, betrothed, and then he finds out she's pregnant, and, you know, he's going to put her away secretly. He can't believe the story that, you know, she's carrying the Christ child. She's pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's just too much for him to comprehend and to take in. And so the Lord shows him that, yes, this is what she told you is true, and you need to marry her, and you need to call him Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. And Joseph wakes up, and he does exactly what the angel told him to do. He obeyed. Now, I think it was Skip Heitzig that I was listening to. Skip said, it would have been a lot easier on Joseph to say, "No, I don't want to do that. I'm out. I don't want to have this. This is going to be a problem all my life. This is going to be a difficulty all my life. it would be easier for me just to divorce her and start over, and you know, life would just be a lot less complicated. And he made the point, and it's the same point Chuck Swindoll makes. It's painful to obey. It's hard to do what's right. It's easy. My pastor used to tell you, any old dead fish can float downstream. It's hard to go against the current. And that's why it's hard to stand up for the Lord, because you're going against the current of the world. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. Hey, don't let the world, Romans chapter 12, squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed to this world. So you have to stand up. You have to do what's right. It's hard. We can't do it in and of ourselves. It requires us to depend upon the Lord. Anything that you do in the power of the flesh is wood, hay, and straw. It'll be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. The only thing that lasts is what's done in the power of the Holy Spirit. As the old couplet says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ and in the strength of the Lord will last. And so just remember that. If it's difficult for you right now, the Christian life is difficult. It's painful. It's hard to obey, but it's worth it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Well, we have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. You know, turning the page in a ministry is always difficult when a beloved leader like this retires. One example is Pastor McGee with his Through the Bible series. It's almost devastating, and we have to recognize that it feels devastating to us because, you know, we derive a value from it. But my question is, what are these seminary students going to do about filling the gap? What is their leadership going to do about filling the gap with Chuck Swindoll's departure? Such a heavyweight, you know, knowledgeable man. And to illustrate the point, I was in Hollywood going to, I think it was Hollywood Lutheran, and after a service they had an adult class, and one of the seminary students says, today's class, I'm going to be illustrating something from our seminary. And he went on in a dissertation that involved God, describing God as if he or she, you see, and bringing in the effemination of God. And I took him aside after the class, and I said, are you suggesting that God, it could be a woman or a man? And he said, well, that's what they're telling us in the seminary. So I caution you students that this poisoning of the doctrine is happening, just like in Judges 19. Everyone does what they saw was good in their eyes, and it's a danger.
For sure. Yeah. You know, when it comes to theological education, Ron, students need to make sure you check out the seminary. Don't go to a seminary that is going to teach you heresy and is going to promote heresy. You got to go to a strong, solid, biblically conservative seminary that's going to teach you, thus says the Lord. Just like you wouldn't go to a restaurant that has, you know, half our menu is poison. You wouldn't want to go there. And so that's very, very important. Who you surround yourself with, who you listen to as a believer, who you're going to let speak into your life, what pastors are you going to trust, and you have to check everything out. Acts 17:11, you check everything out with the Word of God. But these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, the Berean Christians, for when Paul preached, they received with eagerness what Paul was saying, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. We have to check out, is what this person telling me true? And you don't want to immerse yourself in bad teaching. Well, we have our friend Lee from Virginia, but we are running out of time. So I'm sorry, Lee. Call me next time. I always enjoy getting to talk to you. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And I hope that you found the wisdom of Chuck Swindoll over 50 years of ministry and what he learned over those 50 years. I hope you found that fascinating. I hope you found that helpful, as I sure did. And listen, that is the goal of the Christian life. It is to be faithful. God hasn't called us to be ingenious. He hasn't called us to be creative. It's good to be ingenious, good to be creative. But the goal, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And we live to hear the Lord say to us one day, well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.